This is Pastor Frank at First Discipleship. This is one of our new podcasts, and we're going to do etymology of words. We already have a video aspect of this, but this is going to be the actual podcast of it. So I have a guest. I'm going to have this guest is going to be a reoccurring guest. And what we're going to be talking about first is God. I believe that's probably the best place to start because that's where Genesis 1:1 starts. So I figured that I will start out with the etymology of not just necessarily in disrespect of saying God is a word, but the word aspect and the alphabet aspect of it, the pronunciation aspect of it, and the meaning of it. When we say God, what do we actually mean? And that's kind of what I want to do in these podcasts, is try to figure out not just say the word God as a description, but actually, who is God? Why choose that? Why a three-letter word? How did it end up G-O-D? What was it before? We have the Western idea of 21st century literary language and style. We read the King James Version or whatever it is we read today. And we see the word God. So what differentiates that word with small g God or a God, let's say, of another region or another country or another faith? What distinguishes God Almighty from another God, or what other people think is God Almighty? So I think these are good questions, and I think it's very important. Now, I want to, everybody knows who I am, Pastor Frank, First Discipleship, and I kind of want my guest to be able to expound a little bit on who she is, and then we can go forward.
Hi, my name's Ashley, and I actually grew up religious. I grew up Orthodox, Jewish, and I've been more interested in learning more about the Christian faith and becoming closer to God and learning more about Jesus. So
the reason why I have Ashley here is because she has a perspective that I don't. And this is one of the things that I like when I have guests, and I'm going to have more guests, multiple guests, as First Discipleship grows. This is something I think is necessary to have different points of view, and you just don't hear my perspective. Because what I want to do is I want to get down to it and reach the truth. And this is something that I've been searching for the last 20 plus years as a Christian. Okay, so I'm going to look up on my phone here because the studio that we're actually using right now is in my car. Now, I'm going to read the names of what the Old Testament calls God, the King James Version. Now, what I'm giving you here is what everybody hears in church. For the ones who study, you're going to hear a little extra. Okay, so here's the first one, introduction. El Shaddai, Elyon.
Yeah, that's right.
Adonai.
Yes.
Yahweh.
I guess so.
Jehovah Nissi. Mm-hmm. Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Rapha.
I'm not familiar with these, but okay.
Jehovah Shema.
Yes.
Jehovah
Mekodesh.
Sikinu. There it is. Sikinu.
Oh, it was
Sidkenu. Jehovah, I can't even pronounce that.
I don't know.
Okay. It's spelled Mekoddishkem.
Okay.
Mekodishkem.
Okay.
Olam. Mm-hmm. Elohim.
Uh-huh.
Kuana. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom. And Jehovah Sabbath. Okay, so they all have meanings next to them. Lord God Almighty, the Most High, Lord Master, Lord Jehovah, the Lord my banner, the Lord my shepherd, the Lord that heals, the Lord is there, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord who sanctifies you, the everlasting God, God jealous, the Lord will provide, the Lord is peace, the Lord of hosts. Okay. So these are some of the words that I think people are really familiar with who read the Bible a lot. And for those who don't, they just say God. Now, Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When we talk about God, when we say God, in your mind, when you hear that scripture, Genesis 1:1, what is the first thing you think of? and then one.
Wow, that's a good calendar. Okay.
Okay, there it is.
So, the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was... Oh, this is the beginning. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Okay. So, what was the question?
What... When you read Genesis 1:1, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
It's the beginning. I mean, it's...
I mean, when it says God.
This higher being... Or this the first being, and powerful.
Yes.
Powerful being. Because how can you just suddenly creating, you know, the universe? It just so, makes it seem so simple. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Mm-hmm. Very powerful. There's like a lot there. Such a short little bit of information with a lot of creation.
Yes, a lot of power.
A lot of power, yeah.
And I like what you said, because yesterday I actually sat down and watched a 35-minute rendition of a rabbi giving his exhortation on Rambam and his exhortation on God. And one of the things he said is what you said, the first being.
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
I feel like first being. You might hear that more. I don't know what it's like in person religion, but like growing up hearing the first, number one, you know, that's like, I think we have a song too in Hebrew, and it's like, I love God, God's number one kind of thing. Like, but it's in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And like, it's all about the beginning, right. I feel like, basically.
It's awesome. Okay, so when you said, like, so let's go back to that part, the point of God being the first being. So how God is described in the Bible, you read this first. As a, say like you were the first time, say you're like, say, 25 years old, you open the Bible for the very first time, and you read Genesis 1:1, you're like, okay, so God,
yeah,
a deity, but he's able to create everything we know.
Yeah.
So that automatically creates a wonder in you, in your mind, in your intellect, and also in your heart. Now, if we can think of a being that could do something that doesn't have that kind of power, it doesn't create, to me, it wouldn't create wonder in my heart or in my intellect to think what goes past this.
Yeah.
You compare God to a Greek god, which has a personality of a human being, they don't impress me at all. Like, at all.
Wait, what?
A Greek god that has a personality of a human being.
Oh, okay.
They do things, they're mischievous.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. Okay. I won't talk about other religions if I don't know about them and if I feel uncomfortable.
No, that's fine, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make you set two things side by side and make a comparison and the difference between two. So when you think
like a contrast?
Yeah, like a contrast.
I prefer, like, explaining it our own way. And everyone that's in the Christian religion kind of explain it their own way. I don't know if this is appropriate, but...
Whatever it is.
Because it's a personal relationship, you know? True. Your relationship with God is personal, and it's going to feel different for everybody, you know? And there shouldn't... I feel like, you know, that's a big part of, like, faith is, like, trying to understand who God is and what he's like and what he looks like and like how he's going to make you feel and treat you. And everyone says all these good things. And when you're young or, you know, anytime in life you're seeking God, it's hard to figure out who that person is, you know?
I like your perspective.
It's okay to just like, I think to be open, and it's okay to, if the same, you know, God we're all talking about is perceived differently to each person. I think.
Do you think that education will predicate your understanding about God?
I think it already has.
Whatever you believe and what you're educated in, and you open the Bible
up. It's changed. It's different. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think everywhere you go, you're going to hear a different story of who God is. You know, there's, especially now with like the media, like in music and all the things we're surrounded by, there's just different interpretation of who God is. Yes. Or what a different representation of what God is. And I think that anyone that's emulating God is creating a false idol personally.
Very
because
good.
You it's a very complicated thing to talk about, because I know that it like sounds like, well, wait, but that's who I thought God would look like or be like. But I feel like you really learned who God is in your quiet time, your time where you are in your solitude or reaching out for that. I can't really get to the word that I want to use, but when you're reaching out to him, you'll really know. You'll really
get a good understanding. You can know God in a personal experience, and then you can know God in general?
Yes. But what I'm trying to say is, like, when you go out and about, I feel like, so God is everywhere, mm-hmm. and in everybody. And sometimes it's really hard to tell, like, if that's God or someone else or what you're seeing around you when you're out and about. And sometimes you might go like, okay, was that God or was that just like a really cool experience or a coincidence or like a sign? And I think that you should be a little weary of that.
Because everything can't be God.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes time. I really think finding God and having a relationship with God takes a lot of time. And I think it's really good to just like, go at it with an ease and be open and, you know, like start the talk, have the communication with others about it.
Okay. So discourse and with other people. And let me ask a question too. So since we're both on two sides of the spectrum,
okay,
trying to find, I'm a Christian, very interested in Judaism and trying to figure out what it means through the eyes of people that this particular faith has been entrusted to by God himself. And then you have someone who is on that side and trying to understand a Christian perspective. And that's what I really, really like about our conversations, because
I think they're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because most of what I know is from the Jewish religion. Mm-hmm. It's very similar. I think the beginning, it runs in both religions if you were to separate it, but I feel like that's where we come together. God brings us together.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
and so when I hear, okay, so like I want to share a word that you shared with me.
Yeah,
about who God is.
Oh, his name in Hebrew? Yeah. Go ahead.
I forgot it.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, Hashem.
Hashem.
Yeah.
So I was listening, the rabbi I was listening to yesterday actually said Hashem. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome.
Does it feel powerful for you or something?
It's like I've never heard that name before, and is why I am so interested
in the Jewish
take on what I believe. So what I believe, and this is, I've said this to you before, what I believe is that Christianity is more Jewish than people actually give it credit for, is because everything that we believe as Christians
I could see that.
Has Jewish roots to it. And
well, we're talking about the same part, the Torah, the first. So
the Torah, when I read Genesis 1, it almost seems like it's just only the beginning. This is before. Now when I read Genesis 1, I'm thinking like, his son is who I believe in. And do I just forget about God, or do I forget about God, or do I only just believe in his son, Jesus Christ? So no, we don't forget about God. Of course not. And so,
I want to talk about that. How to juggle. Okay, so like, I'm new to like learning about Jesus and all that stuff, and really understanding who Jesus is and being fully accepting. But it's like, okay, so there's God and Jesus, you know. And I know Jesus is his son, but do you turn people? A lot of people turn to Jesus. A lot of people turn to God. Like, how do you pick when and who you're turning to, and which issues or things you're going through? Like, do you talk to both? Like, how do you handle that?
So, I feel like I learned this religion from the ending and going back to the beginning. And I think for you, possibly, I don't know, I talk for you or speak for you, but could it be that you know it from the beginning and now you're trying to understand it from the ending? Because I'm actually coming from...
So you understand.
But already, like, the book of Revelation,
the
book, you know, about the end times.
So the stuff. More
and
you know.
I'm working my way back towards the beginning. And so I've always thought that when I listened to, you know, the family that I'm from, preachers, teachers, evangelists, and I hear them preach the New Testament, and I don't know anything about the Old Testament, and I don't really like calling it the Old Testament because really, what it's really called is the Tanakh. So I have my feelings about why that is, but that's another podcast. But when I would, what I was taught to do is that you were called Christians and we believe in Jesus Christ. So therefore, Jesus Christ is the central figure of the Bible. I believe that. But then yeah. I was debating a Jehovah's Witness one time and I said, hey, he told me that there's no Trinity. There's only a monotheistic God and that's it. And I said, well, then if there's a monotheistic God, I said, then how did Jesus Christ be his son? He goes, they're all separate. I said, okay, if they're all separate, I said, then why did God take the back seat in the New Testament and he has the front seat in the Old?
Yeah.
And then, so he couldn't answer that question for me. So this is why the Trinitarian doctrine comes in, because if you say God, I think even Elohim is a plural. I don't want to like assume that, but I'm almost sure that through my studies, I've even heard rabbis say that Elohim is actually a plural. It's not a singular. And so God is not necessarily something you could like say, oh, we understand it 100% completely about who he is and which we can't. So when you say, who do I pray to? Do I call on the name of Jesus or do I call on the name of God, Yahweh, Jehovah? Who do I call on?
Hashem, yeah.
Hashem. It is a very, very good question. And I think culminating into the Messiah, and I think this is why the doctrine, to me, the doctrine of the Messiah is so important. God cannot be among sin.
Okay.
God is sinless.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends his son, okay, at that time, didn't have a name, but there's types and shadows throughout the whole Old Testament. Abraham said that he understood who the Messiah was and was glad it, and he saw it in his day. I'm like, that's impossible. How could he know who Jesus Christ is in his day? And then I realized he met a type of Christ who was Melchizedek. So that's what Abraham was talking about. So when I see these types and shadows of Jesus Christ, and then now we come to this point of, so who do we call on, God or Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
If we believe that God is one, Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. That's mm-hmm. Old Testament. That's a fact. God is one. But yet he has his Holy Spirit, and we just read in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. He has a Holy Spirit, and then he also has, it also says plural, we.
Mm-hmm.
And let us create man, let us, that's another one, us is a plural. When I hear these things, we either are going to say God cannot be in two places at the one time, or he can be.
Mm-hmm.
Now his representation as Jesus Christ, as the New Testament, the Christian doctrine says that there's a Trinity. So if we pray to Jesus, we're also praying to God. If we pray to the Holy Spirit, we're also praying
okay.
to Jesus and God.
There's the answer.
Okay. So if...
So you don't have to always address Jesus, like...
No. Okay, so then the... And no, this is only about God, but just to touch on this, the etymology of the name Jesus.
Yeah.
It goes all the way back, because Jesus, there's not a... I don't think there's a J in the Hebrew alphabet at the time of the writing.
Oh,
like,
okay.
The letter J, like the English letter J. Like Jesus starts with the letter J, but Messiah is Moshiach. It's the English letter M.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, Jesus wasn't named until he was born.
Yeah.
Right before he was born, he said his name will be Emmanuel, God with us.
Oh, Emmanuel is another name for Jesus.
Yeshua.
I didn't know that.
So I assume that Yeshua is a very close derivative of Joshua.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So, I don't want to go into
Jesus. Oh, so Yud is J. Yeshua, that's
wow.
Yud. That's pretty much like what you're talking about.
This is why I want you here. I don't know these things.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know the Aleph-Bet, which is the Hebrew alphabet, but I don't know if it matches the ABCs correctly, but Yud is the J sound, yeah.
Okay, and that's interesting. Okay, so I think that if we pray to anybody, so now if I was to ask a Orthodox Jewish rabbi this, I would get mm-hmm. a completely different answer. Who do we call on? And there's prayers. I think, like you told me, that when you say the word Elohim, you use the word, you know, Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
These are words of prayer and praise.
Mm-hmm.
And so calling on his name. So when David in the book of Psalms, and he's praying and he's in lamenting and he's mm-hmm. saying all these different things, I'm almost sure he's using the proper names. Mm-hmm. But like you said, in conversation, we're using Hashem. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that's very interesting. And I think a lot of people don't know this as Christians. I didn't know it. Not that mm-hmm. I know everything, but I think just, it's, I hate to think God's name is just a common house word like a broom. Or like, you know, like or oven, or refrigerator, and in Christianity, it's God. You know, God. It's so much more powerful just in the name, and who it, and what that word represents is the reason why I want to do these podcasts mm-hmm. because I don't want to commonalize, or that's even a word, to make it common. I wanted to make it what it is: mm-hmm. awesome, majestic, powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, who He is. And so when someone says, oh, I believe in God, it brings a whole different meaning now. So now you're going to think, yeah, I'm going to say this, but I totally mean something else. I want to mean more than just a word.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, God is powerful.
Yeah. And so now all the terms that we just, in the beginning, what we named, He's described by what He did. So when you say God the Provider or Jehovah Jireh,
I think
Jireh,
that's really interesting, and I like that you pointed that out because I feel like in society we have roles, and what we do is basically who we are, not necessarily like what we look like or like. And I think that that's subliminally Him like saying like, "Hey, how you live, how you live your life is who you are."
Yeah,
what and you do. That right there is God holding accountability and saying, hey.
Like that. See, I never looked at it that way either.
It's me, God. Like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I did. What did you do? what are you doing?
You know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I know the answer.
Yeah.
You know?
So throughout the Torah, and this is, I think, is the very, very important to understand. God is so active in the Torah, in the first five books of the Bible, He is so active with Moses, specifically with Moses and the children of Israel until Moses dies at the closing of the Torah. I cannot think of any other time God being so active in the Tanakh, period. Period. He's there in a tent.
What area? What time?
We're talking the time of Moses.
The time of Moses.
Exodus.
Okay. Do you want to speak about like specifically what scripture or?
So in general, because I know this is our first one, I think we're going to have to do a part two on this because it's so deep.
I love it.
God's first act with Moses is the Exodus.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm sorry. No, it starts with the plagues of Egypt.
Because
he was told Moses and Aaron.
Passover, huh?
Right before that quest, Passover actually had to do with the very last plague.
That's the beginning, though,
yeah.
Right?
That's the beginning of the Exodus, yeah.
Yeah.
So the very first plague, I'm not going to go through all the plagues, but the very first plague and up to all the plagues,
yeah.
God interacts in judgment towards the Egyptians because Pharaoh has hardened his heart and won't let the people go.
Yeah.
The very last one is death will come. And then
to the first
the Passover is where death passes over the children of Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. Then they exit Egypt, which is the Exodus means exit, right? So they exit Egypt, and then God is just active, splitting the Red Sea.
Yes. I joke about this. Am I allowed to joke about this? When I'm on the phone with my friend, I'm like, oh no, I feel like I have to go walk through the Dead Sea. I'm having so much anxiety right now. Like, because
I think it's okay
when
to
I get nervous
it,
about something, I like start referencing the Bible sometimes or the Torah. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think it's blasphemy, but I think you want to be a little.
Anyway, sorry. Just wanted to throw out something that I realized
understand.
I did, and I was like, "Am I allowed to to reference the Torah right now? This is like." A different version of
me. I think people do it all the time. I mean, Christians do it all the time. With this, you know.
I have moments in my day-to-day, where I will be doing something and I'll literally be like, this is like modern-day Torah.
No.
Like,
no,
you can see the Bible or the Torah out and about when you're doing stuff.
I agree.
It's so weird, because I'm thinking, you know, I'm in 2021, mm-hmm. I'm going to go get a Starbucks. Like, I don't care. But I'm walking in the heat, and I feel like I should be in Egypt, and and I'm not going to get Starbucks. I'm going to go meet up with Moses. Okay, so anyway, obviously not realistic.
No, I understand.
But I have moments in my day, that's not the best example, where something will happen, and I'm like, I just feel connected.
Yeah.
I feel connected to my, if you pay attention to your daily life, you'll feel more connected when you see that everything is right here. That's in all the stories in the Bible and in the Torah, and how you can make those decisions, like what you know from the Bible and the Torah, to make your life better. Yeah. I feel like, you know, life is a bunch of lessons, and we don't know the answers, but we happen to have these books and information out here that could help guide us. And why not, like, take a dive and find out what's there.
And I think this is where people refer to God, because it, even through people's lives and through their daily walk, is even Jesus's, even the way the four Gospels chronicle Jesus's life, they do not describe 3 years worth of day-to-day things. They describe the highlights.
Yeah.
So how can we, I mean, unless you journal every single day.
I don't.
If you do, just say if you do.
Okay.
You would have so much to write about every single day.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the reason
that
why.
That reminds me of when I was younger. And I used to be so emotional and cry like over everything, because I wanted all these things in my life to be a certain way, right? Yeah. And family and friends would be like, just go get a journal, write about it in a journal. And I was like, I don't want to write in a journal. And I would try. I'm someone who like expresses the emotion and then I go try it out. And I was like, well, everyone's telling me, so let me see what it's like. Yeah. And then I try, and then I'm like, why would I want to write the whole day down in this book?
And this is so when it comes to scripture, what the writers did and what God wanted to be written is written because it edifies what he gives. Now think of this. Truth coming from heaven is eternal. Mm-hmm. What we get and what we talk to each other is finite, because we only understand birth and death.
Yeah.
The sun goes up, the sun goes down. Mm-hmm. Okay. The seasons go this way, you know, the wind blows this way. It's all finite. It's what we understand. Mm-hmm. We understand having a baby and being a baby. We understand getting gray hair, getting old and dying and having to pay for the funeral bills. We understand all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that God's truth, when it comes down from heaven, it's eternal. So what we do have from God, which to me proves God, mm-hmm. is the eternal truth that we get. So when you say you go from day to day and you see the Torah, to me, that's a slice of infinity. Mm-hmm. So we are actually living out a truth, whether we follow God or we don't. We listen to God's truth or we don't. And when we don't, we see the outcome, which is in the Bible.
Yeah.
If we see the outcome,
I agree with
positive,
this. So sorry, I'm like yelling.
It's okay, no, it's good.
But like, this is how I decided to become closer to God, or uh-huh. I really wanted it, and it was for sure. Was sorry, I'm a little bit tired. What did you just said something and it triggered like a thought.
What we do, or whether we follow God or not follow God,
He shows you in the lessons of your life,
right.
Basically. And I was like experiencing things, and I was like. Okay, so mind you, I grew up religious, but I walked away from it. I'm like your stereotypical story of walking away.
I'm here with you.
And it took me, I had to learn myself after going through some horrifying things, horrifying events in my life. And I was like, it's so funny because these were all the things that I was like never going to let happen to me.
Right.
Or these are things that I never wanted to happen to me. And I was like very good about protecting myself and making sure I'm great and like, you know, like my life is good, but looking back, sure enough, my life was not doing great. And all the things that were happening were horrifying because I learned that most people don't go through those things.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, what am I doing wrong? And I was on a journey of self search.
Yes.
And, I looked everywhere, but God, I was like, no. But he would come up so much. No one would bring him up. I would bring him up. I would be like, but is there God? Hey friend, hey mailman, do you believe in God? Hey, like everyone, do you believe in God? I don't know who has been there where you're just asking everybody, around you if they believe in God, so you can find out if he's real, if someone's going to tell you. But that's just not going to, like, give you God.
Right.
And basically, I went through a lot of things, and ever since I realized, I mean, he had to kind of wake me up big time. After all of my search with psychology, like trying to find any other excuse but God, I looked back and everything made sense, that it was God making good moves in my life to bring me to a better place. And I was resistant to it.
Right.
And that he was there the whole time. And I never would believe when people say that God's there the whole time. But if I look back at my story, I'm like, well, what about that good thing? What about that good thing? What about that? How did I not get killed? Like, how did this not happen? How come I am still, oh, God was protecting me. And
so would you agree then, now that we're kind of like expounding on all this, would you agree that God's identity is revealed through our experiences with the world?
Yes. Well, identity, we're talking like seeing him, right? We're talking about like the physical, or we're talking about spirit? Okay,
so we started out that who is God, and how
I
is God just a word,
like,
or is God just something that we believe in because we can't describe it, or is he real?
He's a spirit. In my opinion, he's a spirit.
No, that's true.
And he's you have to relax and kind of just trust the process to really get, there's like almost like some things you need to do. I don't want to say it like this, that you need to do these things, but you almost have to allow certain things to unfold in your life. And what I mean by that is, I feel like the biggest thing here is let go. You almost need to let go of all of the chaos around you. You have to be like ready to take that. And it sounds great. Okay, we're going to get rid of chaos. We're going to like have like a peaceful time. But the thing is, it can be very hard because we don't really realize it, but we're so conditioned and addicted to the chaos around us because that's all we know. That's all we're surrounded by.
Right.
And God is like poking through the bushes. And if you aren't looking for him, you might not see that he's there when you need him. And the point I'm trying to make is to allow yourself to receive God,
yes.
Basically. It's so much easier to say it. Then it's so hard to explain the experience. Because I remember hearing all this stuff all the time from people.
Yeah.
Like, are you ready to experience God? Or are you ready to receive Jesus or God? And I'm like, yeah? What are you talking? What does this mean?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. But part of getting it is just looking at the big picture and going, that is what that is, and that is what that is.
Would you...
is God. Like, just accepting that this is what it is. And then he just pops up.
Would you agree that God gives us our senses, feel, what is it, seeing?
I think
we see things, we feel things, we hear things, you see our
yeah.
senses. Do you think he has given us those senses to somehow, some way experience him?
Yes.
Okay, so let me read this in the book of Romans. This is Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 is not nice because it really talks about the disbelief of God from man.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read it here. Okay, let me just start at verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
This is Romans chapter 1, verse 18. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see the invisible qualities of his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God.
Okay, so that's where I lost track, is all the bad things happening. That's what that reminds me of. And it's, I don't want to say he was punishing me, but it's kind of like the plagues. Like, is that what I felt like it was like?
Right,
it was
right.
Like, that's kind of like the plagues, or like, I feel like when you veer away from God, it's not that he's punishing you. He's trying to give you signs to see why you, to let you know you need him. And it's actually for your protection, in my opinion.
Very good.
That's how I felt.
No, I agree.
Because when
with that.
I started receiving him, and the more I can get closer to God, to be quite frankly, I haven't had anything horrible happen to me. I've had know, it's kind of scary and crazy to say, but everything's been pretty peaceful. And, like, I don't know. It's a happy, it can be a happier life for you out there.
So now that we've gotten this far in this conversation, when you read Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, now how would you look at the word, the title, and who God is?
When I read it?
Yeah.
Does it change, is what you're saying? You know, after going through everything, now that I'm older, yes, I think your relationship absolutely can change, if that's, like, the question, because we change. Like, as we get older, our brains, what we see as truth changes. When we're younger, we're, like, new, and everything is perceived more sparkly, and just in our own view, our own color, in our own, you know, image. And I think a lot of what our experiences are does change how we see God. We start to feel, I feel like, and I feel like that I can say this for almost everyone, that when you get closer to God, everything that you've always wanted, all the positive good things, like, it just kind of pours out of you, I feel like, or it's more visible to others without even having realized. Like, you might wish you were a certain type of person and start believing in God and praying to God and see that you actually are that person and that you didn't really see it because you were so, you know, blocked from that. Anyways, so same with God. The closer you get to him, the more you feel almost just, like, powerful, and it's, like, I don't want to say it's, like, a high, but it's very, like, it's, like, an awesome thing, and I feel like that makes him appear, you kind of see his power.
Yeah.
You'll see God around you, and you'll smile and be like, oh my gosh, like, wow, that's really cool.
So would you say that God has a fingerprint?
Yeah, I feel like that's his way of, like, saying, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. You're good.
So, now, speaking about the children of Israel going through the plagues of Egypt, they spent 400 years in slavery,
and they
heard nothing from God.
Yeah, so that's what it felt like for me when I was going through that I went through. You can, and you know what's funny? You can experience that many times in your life and feel like this isn't real and question, you know, like, oh, there's no God for sure.
Right.
But that's one of those things, like, when you're a kid and you're upset and you get mad and you say things you don't mean.
Yes.
That's kind of how I feel, and I know that's, like, going to be off-putting to people that aren't true believers, but that's because you have to see the big picture. Like, I feel like you have to go through, read the whole Bible, really, really understand who he is for you and what you want. It's a very personal thing. So you have to see, like, what it is you need out of life, want out of life. What do you love? What is going on in your life? What is going on in other people's lives? What is the big picture of life? And you'll start to see God.
So we mentioned there's four major exiles in the Bible. There's more other things that happen to the children of Israel in the Tanakh, but there's four major exiles. One of the exiles was the I don't know if I can consider Egypt an exile, but they definitely didn't do anything that I've read that deserved an exile. But the fact is, they just started to get to know who God was, but they stayed in bondage for hundreds
of
years.
Scary.
That, and then you have the exiles, because they didn't follow God, and he specifically gave them the law to be able to follow him. So it's not like he said, hey, follow me, told them one time, kind of like verbally, and then didn't give them a reference. They've had reference. So one of the fingerprints that I noticed of God is, like, when you stop following him and you reject him, he's given you mercy and grace.
Yeah.
Hey, follow me. Hey, come back to me. He sent prophets to the children of Israel. Hey, come back, come back, come back.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we want to do what we want to do. And then, of course, after a period of time, he said, okay, time's up. Now I'm going to judge you, exile. Then they come back to him.
Yeah.
And then it happens again. And then they come back to him, apostasy, and they come back again. So this is so what we can take away from that, and what I notice, and
is we would receive the same if we don't.
It's a fingerprint of God.
Let God lead the way. Yeah.
He doesn't want to judge us necessarily, but what he wants to do is he wants us to love him. He loves us. So Jesus said, they asked him, what are the greatest commandments? in Jesus' statement too. He says, love God and love each other.
Yeah.
That's all God wants us to do, is to love him, and then we love one another.
Yeah.
When I read that and I see God's fingerprint on what happens when we don't love him and when we don't love one another.
Oh my gosh.
Some people have an issue with God being who he is by judgment.
You're just going to build yourself so many more problems in your life.
Oh, really?
Like, honestly, I don't like to have strong opinions, but like, once you receive God, you'll see that. It's just, once you're on the other side, everything changes.
Yeah. Do you think that has a lot to do with with how we perceive God?
What?
So God says, if you love me.
Yeah.
Okay, you'll keep my commands. You love me, you'll keep my commands.
Sounds conditional.
It does. But look at this way. Perfect love comes from God down to us, which is the agape love, right?
Yeah.
And then you have brotherly love, which is phileo, which is the Greek word for brotherly love and family love.
Okay.
That's the social aspect. So we talk about sociology, we talk about social behavior, and how we treat one another.
Yeah.
But if we love each other the way God loves us, don't you think that would fix a lot of society?
If we loved each other the way God
loves us.
Oh, the world would be like, it'd be like heaven. It would literally probably be like heaven. Because we would be happy. Like, let's be honest, like, how do you feel when you don't have love? How do you feel when you do have love?
You feel rejected.
And it's hard too, because as you get older too, a lot of us don't even know what love feels like, or we're not sure. Speaking of love, love is a lot like God, and God is a lot like love, because it's powerful. And I think that if you're seeking love, try God first. And I say that because he's not going to let you down. You know, God's not going to be like, he's not going to cheat on you.
Right.
He's not
going
to,
like,
he's not going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the truth, and he's going to help you become like him. And also, once you receive God and you still want love, you're going to radiate love, and you're going to attract someone so amazing. Like, it's so worth, you know, waiting out for that.
Yes.
And that's something that I'm actually currently, like, you know, kind of dealing with. Like, okay, I really want, like, a man of God, and, like, I really want to, like, experience this experience. And I know it might sound cliche, especially, like, in this day and age.
Yeah.
But I look back at what I always wanted when I was younger, it's to be close to God.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really realize that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that, like, every great aspect that you want from love is in the name of God. It literally is.
Yeah, would you agree that God should be the first place we look, but it ends up being the last place we look?
Often, yes. It's very interesting how we end up all going through these cycles, these cliche cycles of no, and then it's like when you get older and you're like, my mom was right, or like, our parents were right, you know, stuff like that, because guess what, they lived the life before you.
Yeah.
God lived it all. He was there from the very beginning.
Yes.
So what makes you think that you're going to outshine someone who's been there from the very beginning?
Yeah.
You're not. So
yeah, it's totally true. So the word God, or the term God, or just it's more than just what we perceive it to be. And the reason, like I said, why I'm doing this podcast is so that we can actually unveil and unravel the concept that we think God is. Now, I know this is not comprehensive. It's not totally all the way, you know, hey, we're done. We did the whole thing A to Z. No, we're at the very beginning of this. This is why I want to do a part two. And just having a discourse and kind of some of the misnomers, or having the cliche talked about, and maybe our own personal understandings and what we grew up with. I think it's interesting to go through this process, because I think the next podcast that we do, a part two on this, I think we'll be able to get a little more technical now that we've got some of the things that we thought and think out of the way. And we're going to get closer to the truth, which I think why discourse is so important. Now, I do know this, that I know that when you go to study to be a rabbi, or you go to study to do ministry in Judaism, one of the things that you do is you sit down between two people and then you debate and you talk about certain subjects. I've seen different videos on YouTube, and how you have two people will have a discourse as part of the school that they go to, in order to be able to get that point across
to and form a strong explanation of the Torah, the Bible.
I think that's important. So discourse, I believe, is very. That's why I want to do these podcasts with so many different people. I want to definitely continue having these podcasts with you, because I think it's extremely important. We have two different opposite polar views.
I love this stuff, but I apologize if I'm like off today. I'm just like very tired and didn't plan. I was ready to get excited, and I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I'm not perceived like so intense, but.
No, it's perfectly fine. And I think the next time we have this podcast, it'll be in a more controlled environment.
Yeah, somewhere nice. In a car. Where it sounds smooth. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so I'll tell you what, let's wrap this up. And I'm so glad that we're able to meet and to do this. And I definitely looking forward to other things. So we're going to have a part two on this. But so the next thing we're going to go to after the part two of God, G-O-D, capital G-O-D, we're going to go to the Son. So you have God, His Son, Jesus Christ, and then you have the Holy Spirit. That'll be the third one. So second one after this will be God part two, and then the next one after that will be the Son. So these are terms that everyone's familiar with, everybody in Christianity and Judaism, what they think. And I'm sure there's a lot more people more intelligent than me in addressing this and how they address it. But it's okay, because this is where I'm at in what I do.
Yeah.
And my study of Christianity for the last 20 plus years. And I'm at this point of growing as a pastor, starting a church, outreaching to people, getting other people's opinions, because my opinion is not the only one out there.
Yeah. You find what's right for you. So.
Okay. Well, let's end this, and then we'll reconvene when we do. And so I want to thank you for taking time
out. Thank you. This was fun.
Okay.
I love this.
All right. This is Pastor Frank at First Discipleship. Look forward to the next podcast. Remember to subscribe and to like. And it would really help out if you share this with other people. And hopefully you were blessed with the conversation we had. All right. Amen.
Bye.